You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. Remember, if you miss anything, KVOI.com. Malta Joe did get a big kick out of my recreation of his scene of meeting the Mafia Dons of Pastizzi on Malta. And Bruce did pull my fat out of the fire. It's the Feast of Sukkot is the way you say it. So thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it. Let's go right to the phones. We have from PragerU. Wow. It's an early morning. I get some more filthy pirate. PragerU. We have Will Witt Live, which is on PragerU. He's on a variety of stuff. He's a college dropout, according to his bio, and look where he's at now. So he has a new book. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, Taking on Liberal Arguments with Logic and Humor. Will, good morning. Welcome to Wake Up.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
So let's talk about the journey from college dropout first to working with Dennis on PragerU.
Yeah, I can say that dropping out of college was the best decision of my life. I was in Colorado, and I went to the University of Colorado Boulder, which is basically the People's Republic of Boulder at this point.
Beautiful, and, as I like to say, beautiful campus, but we're bending minds every day when we're
exactly.
there.
Exactly. One of the most beautiful places in America, truly. But, yeah, the values don't match that exactly. But, you know, I was a liberal atheist my entire life until I went to college. You know, most people go to college and their parents raised them conservative or Christian, then they become a liberal. I actually was a liberal and then became a conservative, so it was kind of the opposite. And so once I just saw how no one really had any sort of common sense and these values just weren't working out, I got very involved. I started working with the Republican Party in Colorado, started working with student groups, and then eventually I found out about PragerU. And I decided to make a video on my campus asking women about the wage gap, and PragerU ended up loving the video. I taught myself how to edit and shoot it, and I sent it to them. They loved it, and then long story short, they offered me a job, and after 2 years of college, dropped out of school in Colorado and moved out to Los Angeles, no money, no anything, to do what I knew was right.
So what was, give me an example of like a spark moment at Boulder. What's a moment that burns in your brain that you started going, that started the journey from liberal atheist to where you're at now?
There were two major things, I would say. The first, you know, it's usually about a girl, and this one was about a girl. And the girl who I was dating at the beginning of 2016 was a huge Hillary Clinton supporter. And it kind of turned me off that way when we would get into arguments. And I was like, well, I'm not going to let her beat me in an argument. So I got more conservative just by doing that. And then the second one is a little more frightening, where I was in a sociology class. I was an English major, which was a useless degree, and a sociology class was a useless class, but I didn't know it at the time. And there was a black girl sitting next to me in my class, and my white TA, the teacher's assistant, she points at me, and she says, "You are oppressing this girl because of the color of your skin." And that was just like shocking to me. You know, I didn't feel like I was oppressing anyone, and this girl next to me, she didn't feel like she was oppressed. We were friends. But apparently I was oppressing these people, and that's what the people at university will tell students nowadays, which is absolutely ridiculous. This is how you create the victim culture in America. And so that's part of the other reason I started getting very involved.
So you've been you do a good amount of these humans on the street. This is where you started earning your street cred, is doing these interviews with these somewhat hapless, hopeless people. What is a truism in all of the, when you do these interviews with these people on the street, what are some of the common truisms that play out every time you do one of those?
Well, I would say that most of them are able to say that conservatives are racist or that my ideas are horrible, but they're not able to give a lot of examples. And, you know, I do want to blame them for not doing the research, but I also don't want to blame them because America is kind of against them. They have the universities being dominated by the left, Hollywood, the mainstream media, the bureaucracy, its special corporate interests. I mean, everything is dominated by the left. So how do you expect these people to have any sort of conservative ideas? So I would say most of the time, these students or whoever I talk to have no idea what's going on, even though they think they're the smartest person in the entire world. And so the key to waking them up is by asking them questions where they have to actually reveal their own thinking. Instead of you just telling them what to think, they are having to tell you what they think by the questions you ask.
Give me an example or two of some of the craziest answers you ever got to a decently benign question.
Well, I would say I was doing one on climate change, and I had a man tell me that he was going to get a vasectomy for climate change so that he wouldn't have any children because they were going to destroy the earth. I had a student call the cops on me because he said that my ideas were oppressing him on campus, and so the cops came after he called them on me. I have had people during abortion videos saying it's fine for 9-month abortions. So I've had some absolutely wild, wild times. If you guys want to see more, you can go to prayhugh.com and check out some of my videos. But just absolutely insane times I've had.
So here you go. You went from Boulder to L.A.
Yeah, exactly. Just as bad. At least the weather's better here.
Talk about working with Dennis and the PragerU crew. I want to get to your book. We might have to go to break and do that again if that's okay.
Yeah.
Talk about working at PragerU and the good work that you guys are doing over there.
You know, PragerU is a fantastic organization. I could have worked for other conservative groups, but I chose to work for PragerU for a reason. I started at PragerU about 4.5 years ago now, and when I started, we only had about 15 employees. So we had one graphic designer, basically two people in marketing, and now we've exploded into about 75, 80 employees and just doing huge things. So it's amazing to see how we've grown, and Dennis has been the biggest mentor for me. You know, again, I wanted to work for PragerU because of Dennis, because of the wisdom that he has and the things that he talks about. He has been just one of the greatest people in my life to teach me what life is really about. You know, it's more than just politics with Dennis. It's wisdom of life and a true zeal for existence.
So why is the Will Witt of now better than the Will? What are some of the things you've learned over the last 4.5 years? Why is Will Witt better now than he was 4.5 years ago?
Well, I think I've got a better haircut now. But aside from that.
Well, what was the old haircut?
You know, it just wasn't as nice. It was a quicker haircut. You know, now I got someone who's really doing a superb job on my head.
Look at you.
Yeah, exactly.
But other than the haircut.
I would say the main thing has to be that I have realized that it's not me always going to be the person changing their minds when I'm talking to people, and it's them changing their own minds. And I think that comes with, like many people will go out and talk to people and do man on the street videos, but I feel like most people would rather just make the people on the left look dumb instead of change minds. My pinnacle principle has always been to change people's minds, at least it is now, because of just how I've seen my videos evolve and what I've really wanted to do. Seeing people have bad conversations and not getting things done when it comes to politics has been very frustrating for me. And so I've really wanted to try and fix that and help people change minds and educate people. So I would say that's probably the biggest change I've had.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Will Witt. We're going to talk about his book when we come back, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, Taking on Liberal Arguments with Logic and Humor. Of course, Dennis Prager is on this show every afternoon drive time here at KVY.com. And of course, hit PragerU.com, go to presenters, and you can track down Will and find out all the good work he's doing there. If you have a question for Will, 790-2040, wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. We'll be right back in a few. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right, we're talking How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, Taking on Liberal Arguments with Will Witt, Prager University. Will, thanks for holding on. I appreciate it.
Of course. Glad to be here.
And, of course, you can get this book at fine booksellers and, of course, on your online options of Amazon and, I assume, other places out there. Will, so as I'm looking at this and it says, Will gives young conservatives the ammo they need to fight back against the liberal media. So where are the young conservatives right now? Is the heat so hot right now that they're kind of underground? What are we seeing with, quote, young conservatives?
Well, if they're in Arizona, the heat might be too hot. But I think in the rest of America, I think I'm actually somewhat disappointed. I wish the young conservatives were doing more. I think that they need to be braver about what they believe in, and I feel like most of them don't feel confident enough in their abilities to stand up, or they're worried about what the left is going to do to them. But I tell everyone, not just young conservatives, I tell this to everyone, if you're worried about what the left is going to do to you now, you should be far more worried about what's going to happen in the future if you don't do anything now, because the left is going to continue to destroy everything.
So what do we do to activate those folks? Now, you're giving them, you know, how to win friends and influence enemies, but what needs to happen out there to activate the young conservatives who are going to truly inherit the mess that's going on right now?
Well, I think people need the tools, and I don't just say this as a book plug. I mean, really, like young people need to feel like when they are going out and talking to people that they have the right amount of education to be able to have good conversations with people, because people are so scared of social pressures. I mean, this is why COVID and the pandemic got so blown out of proportion with masks and vaccines and all that, because people are worried about what their neighbor or someone on social media thinks about them. And so they're worried they're going to say the wrong thing. And so young conservatives need to have self-education and get the right information and be ready to take on the world so that they can take on the world. They have to actually put their best foot forward and dig a little deeper and say, hey, I want to go out and stand up for these values. How do I educate myself on what's happening in the world?
I think what's as a guy who's been doing what I've been doing for a dozen years on the air, but also being very involved in trying to change Tucson, which is a very liberal community, okay? And it's imploding down here. Is the idea that a lot of these people on the left with their arguments, they yell loud, but they don't have much depth to their arguments. So when you start the conversation with them, I find that a lot of their stuff doesn't really hold up when you actually have a direct conversation.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's usually how it goes. And there's a difference between leftists and conservative, whereas leftists usually think that conservatives are evil. They have a worldview that says the world is full of good people, but there's just a couple evil people who are ruining it, and that's conservatives. Whereas conservatives think that liberals and leftists are brainwashed, and that most people in the world are born where you are now fighting against your sinful nature. People aren't born good. You have to become good. And so there's just a difference between the two types of people, and that's why I think that this questioning method that I use is going to be the most successful way to change minds, because like I'll go and talk to people on campuses or on the streets, and they won't even know I'm a conservative by the end. But they do know that they had their mind changed and that they opened up their way of thinking to a different point of view.
So give us a little bit of a preview of the Will Short PragerU method.
Well, I think the number one thing is, like, imagine you're going on and talking to someone. Let's say you're talking to someone about climate change. Do you go up and say, climate change isn't that big of a deal, and then you're arguing with someone and they're on the offensive? Or do you come up and say, well, why do you think that the world might end in 12 years, according to AOC? And then they have to explain it back to you. And so eventually you get really good with a lot of practice. I'm not telling everyone that they're going to be incredible at this as they first try it, but you practice and you'll be able to weave your facts into the questions you ask. And then they have to continually explain back to you what they actually believe. And so that's really the way to do it, because then they are having to have their minds changed by themselves. It's not you changing their mind again. It is them changing their own mind because they can't answer the questions that you give them.
I think the idea, right, too, is that you have to start breaking the silence, right, to get to you. I think once you break the silence, using these techniques that you're talking about is so important. So, but you know, convincing kids that it's okay to break the silence, That's going to be the tough one here, isn't it, Will?
Yeah, I think so. I think that young people are, again, very scared to break the silence. You know, we, especially in this age of COVID, people have gotten so used to having a safe and comfortable life. You know, they can order food to their door, and they have Netflix, and they never really even have to leave. They live these safe, comfortable lives, and I think that the left has really tricked people into a risk-averse mindset, and that any sort of uncomfortability is seen as a negative thing. And in my opinion, I think that taking risks, living a more dangerous, passionate, fiery life is really how we make an amazing society. And the left has turned away from that and told people that they shouldn't have that. And so in turn, even conservative people will want to live a safe, very comfortable life. And that's really what I think is like the cardinal sin of the left, is convincing people of that fact, because it destroys innovation and creativity.
So one of my favorite guys to read and quote is Bishop Fulton Sheen from 50-60 years ago. And he wrote this 60 years ago. The refusal to take sides on the great moral issues is in itself a decision. It's the silent acquiescence to evil. The tragedy of our time is that those who still believe in honesty lack fire and conviction, while those who believe in dishonesty are full of passionate conviction, unquote. And that's 60 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. And look at a place like California. You know, we just went through this recall election. I'm not sure if all of you guys saw the results of that, but it was quite sad. It was quite sad to see what happened. We had half of the voter turnout from, you know, the 2020 presidential election, and people just didn't come and actually do anything. And it's like, I don't understand how if you see evil in the world, how you can't stand up against it and do something. You know, if you see evil at your doorstep, I at least feel compelled and propelled to fight against it. And I get that it's scary, but I'm telling you that the greatest people throughout history and the history of the world are people who said, you know, I'm going to put the safe and comfortable life behind, and I'm going to go and do something heroic. And that's what it's really all about.
It's the idea. To me, I agree with you, Will. It's we have a lot of people with bad, weak, dangerous ideas out there, right? They just seem to be more willing to shout at the top of their lungs, and we just need people. The silent majority of the sanity just need the might need that person who's listening right now, their example, to step up and show them that it's okay to step up.
And your life gets better when you step up. I don't know if people fully grasp that as well. You know, when you're living a life of lies and you have these conservative ideas or whatever it is, and then you suppress them, you will feel suppressed in your nature, and you will feel like you are lying to the world. And that's not a good way to live. Like, think about the Goya beans guy, you know,
right?
The Goya beans. I never bought Goya beans. I never really even heard of Goya beans. So then the guy comes out, says, oh, I love Trump and I'm a big conservative, you know, and then every conservative comes out and starts buying tons of Goya beans. So it's like it seems like it's tough and the left is going to hate you when you come out and say what you believe in. But people who are also on your side are going to be there supporting you even stronger because they see that you are a leader. Be that leader.
Amen, Will Witt. Well, Will, let's keep the conversation going. You know, we love Dennis. He's on our station on in the afternoon, and hopefully you come out to Arizona one day and we'll maybe do an event with the crew with you. I think it'd be great.
That would be great. I think I'll be doing on my book tour on October 12th. I think I'll be at Grand Canyon University. So I know it's not too soon, but
maybe you can figure out an add-on before or after that event. Let's figure if we can do that.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, I'll have my guy Ray reach out to the PragerU crew and see what we can do.
Great, sounds good.
All right, well, good talking to you. Congratulations on the book. Keep doing the good work.
Thank you so much. Yeah, the book is available anywhere books are sold, Amazon, anywhere else.
Awesome. All right, talk to you soon. Can't wait to meet you.
Thanks.
All right, that's Will Witt from Prager University, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, taking on liberal arguments with logic and humor. I definitely roller skated the crap out of this one. This is a big one. A little When in Rome, The Promise. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We'll talk about Tucson business leadership when we come back. Wake up. Being played before every city and county meeting.
True
no
that.
No one is ever to blame. This county is off the rails. No one's blame. No one to blame. It's fine. Yes, sir.
And in every Daily Star endorsement editorial.
Well, there is someone to blame. I apologize. I apologize. Remember all the misery in Tucson, Arizona. Remember, this is something you got to remember. All the misery, right? Kids who can't read. No living, very few living wage jobs. Horrible roads, no police in the streets of Tucson. It's either the state of Republicans at the state legislature, Donald Trump, it's not even in office anymore, or, well, there's two more things. We have the 2008 crash, real estate crash, Or of course they will now blame the Rona for the next 27 years for why they suck. Speaking of sucking, let's talk about Tucson business leadership. So a few people texted me and said, "Oh, Amber Smith from the Chamber quit." I've heard a couple of people, sounds like it's true. Do you have something? Couldn't give a flying crap. Because what will happen is her hire was always a manifestation of her board. Do we think they're going to, I mean, hiring Michael Guyman to take her spot, this somehow gets better? Nice fella. But that's not leadership. So what do we do? What do we do on that? We've been talking about this business size, this business leadership side for years. And because we just keep flailing around, right? The Metro Chamber is irrelevant. The Hispanic Chamber is irrelevant. I don't know if, are they still paying bills from the Leah Marquez Peterson days? That might be true. They hired this guy, Rob Elias, who seems like a nice fella. Rob ran for city council. He was a marketing guy at the Garden Museum, the Botanical Gardens. And then he worked at the chamber for 3 weeks when Medler left because they couldn't afford Medler. So they assume they hired Elias for less money. And then all of a sudden the Hispanic Chamber was looking for a new head. So now he's the head of that. Now, it's been really sad and mildly disturbing that in all of our conversations about the minimum wage, 206, the Hispanic Chamber is nowhere to be found. Like, I have been on calls with Metro Chamber and all the other business ones. The one that's always missing is the Hispanic Chamber. And it sounds like they're probably going to take a pass on this one, even though the mom-and-pop Hispanic businesses are the ones that are going to get crushed on this thing. Maybe Rahina and Joe Biden can come up with a fund to help people who have to pay higher minimum wages. Maybe that'll happen. Just get the credit card out at the, just print some more money. Do a little quantitative easing 27. Matt, are there more quantitative easings or Fast and Furious movies?
I'm going to go, I'm not even going to phone a friend. I'm going to go with the quantitative easing. And it's tough competition there, but...
It was about family.
And again, it's tough, right? And so what really needs to happen in Tucson's business leadership community? We've said the idea before. This is, you know, DeSimone being living in fantasy land / Pollyanna Chris. Now, I know Pollyanna is a little bit of a deep literary reference for some of you, especially if you're a TUSD grad, but look it up. She was a plucky, positive, naive young lady, but seen the power through with her positivity. You know, the only person with more positivity than her might be Gloria and Betsy. Now, so... What happens is that you have boards of directors who hire people who keep thinking that quiet conversations, they're just kissing the butts of the local electeds, and somehow if they keep those lips right on Chuck and Sharon's posterior, right, long enough, somehow they're going to magically get some sort of real leadership out of them, right? Now, in the end, in reality, you just can't be banging on these people forever. There does have to be some common ground you can work on together. But you do have to have the courage to say, when you have an ugly baby, you have got an ugly baby. Just got to say it. It's tough. But that's the whole leadership thing, right? I keep saying it over the years, right? Every book, let's say every book and TV show that you guys have ever watched or read, right, is you have a, there's a status quo And then this one person, man, woman, dog, whoever it is, stands up and goes the other way and starts people changing their minds because they stood up and said, that's wrong. Every movie is like that. That one person stood up and said, we're not doing it that way, isn't working anymore. We got to do it the new way, right? So then the next, you know, they figure that out in the first half hour of the movie. The next half hour, there's various little things that happen to this man or woman where they have to now, they're banging with the status quo, right? And how did they overcome that? And then at the end, the status quo starts changing, and some of the people who were in charge of the status quo go, I think that crazy person's right. We should change stuff. This is what we're talking about in this community. So here's my dream that won't happen, as we like to. Let's say it one more time. Here's the dream that won't happen. Thank you. Thank you. There needs to be one business organization for Tucson. Remember, all of these other things started because a lot of them is because a lot of people hated the way Jack Camper, who ran the chamber since the first Star Wars movie was released, and wanted to start their own thing because they thought the chamber... the organizations that split from the regular chamber, right? Southern Arizona Leadership Council started because they thought the chamber sucked, right? The Tucson Rodeo Committee used to be part of the chamber. They had to get a... Well, that's a whole other story. Ask Gary Williams over a beer. He'll tell you that story. Make that three beers. I remember Jerry Bustamante when he was running the Northern Chamber. I remember him telling me how many people that he would get that would join the Northern Pima County Chamber because they were running away from Camper. And I assume this is the same way with some of these other chambers. Well, again, the dream that's not going to happen. Oh, sorry. Wrong button again. Damn it, DeSimone. The idea that's not going to happen is we need one big one, right? That's what we need in the end. But the one big one has to be started with a founding set of principles that they try to stick to. And that's... So what we'll do is let's take the bowling call. We'll go to break, and then I want your call, 790-2040. What would be those founding... I know what my... this is why I do a show. It comes out of my brain through my pie hole. But if you want to contribute, what does a founding set of principles need to look like? Give us a call. So let's go to Carl. It's a thing about bowling shoes. So Matt, have your finger on the dump button. Carl, what's up, buddy?
Well, you know, long ago, about 2006, I took a job at the bowling alley that the Pima County took over for their SDT clinic.
Thank you.
And I was the guy handing out shoes. And I wound up with athlete's feet on my hands. But that wasn't the worst part of the job.
I got one more scream left for you.
I pity the poor guy that's the bartender, because one of the biggest issues that the males had that were working there was that we had the leagues would come in with all of these older ladies in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, and they would get drunk and they'd hit on you.
So
they would hit on you even with your scabby hands.
So here's the thing, right? So we just told the story of Starlight Lanes in Flagstaff. Because of the $15 an hour, the same guy handing out the shoes is now the daytime bartender. And then freaking Carl tells us he had the same job doing the shoes and he got athlete's feet on his hands. Well, with that note, Carl, I appreciate your contribution. Everyone, wash your hands really good today, for God's sakes. You're on the Wake Up Tucson Show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Ah, here we go. Little Dolby. This will clear Carl's athlete's hand out of my mind. Here we go. So we're on a random Taco Tuesday here, man. We're doing it all today. Thanks to ESQ for indulging me today. I appreciate it. 790-2040 is the phone number. A longtime business owner that you all know just texted me. Hispanic Chamber won't even return a call regarding membership. They never return calls regardless of what it is. I've had this discussion with clients. One of our biggest problems with American businesses, you guys never answer the phone. I can't believe no one's calling me for my stuff. Pick up the damn phone. Respond to an email. So we're just, if you're just tuning in, a few people told me that Amber from the Chamber is leaving. We heard that was kind of coming for a while. I don't really give a damn. This hire is a manifestation of her board, right? Oh, like the same, it's like the same board. Like somehow they're going to do better the next time. You could tell she wasn't digging it. She had thin skin, right? She had way thin skin. And there was, I think for her, it was more headache than any kind of reward kind of thing, right? And you're trying to, it's the idea that you can't, I don't know if she even had the fight in her, right? Because she loves to hang out with all these people. Remember, she used to work for Pima County lobbyist Michael Rossi before she went to MPA, before she went to the Chamber. So I don't know where she's at. And she was part of the crew that screwed us over on the at the Transportation Advisory Committee. Her, Ekstrom, Bobby Gugino, Rick Price, and who was the other one? Danny Ekstrom. Well, anyway. So anyway, forget about her. She's gone now. Why don't we have everyone come back together into the biggin', right? We need to do the big, I don't know what we call it. It needs a new name. I'm sick of Metro, Chamber, and Converse, and Commerce. So, but let's have a discussion of what's the founding principles. What's the founding principles of what a real business organization that could actually possibly represent the business people and the business owners of this town, right? That's why Ed and the crew started Tucson Business Owners, right? It's the idea that people who cut the front of the check, right, have some sort of, they're trying to get things done, because having a board that's dominated with people who were, I mean, think about it. The Metro Chamber had Tony Penn, for God's sakes, from the United Way as the chamber president. That's a joke. You don't have a nonprofit guy as the head of your chamber. That's stupid. Especially a guy who gets money for his donations, right, that come through county and city paychecks. So stupid. And then what, we got Kelly Maslin from ASU is now the chamber. I think she's the chamber president now. What the hell are we doing? So any of these people that work as middle management executives for universities or utilities, I don't want you. That's the first one. No one wants to see you anywhere near the board. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Billy Beard. I got a couple of calls here, so let's go quick. Bill, help contribute to the mission statement. What do you got for me?
Simple question. You're a business organization. If the people you hire, if the people that are on your board, if the people that are members of your organization, only priority is not the advocation for business, stop wasting everyone's time.
All right. So advocating for business. Got it. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Have a good day. Let's go to the phone, 790-2040. Let's go to Al. Al, what you got for me today, buddy?
Okay. This is my take on it. Me and the wife were driving around, and we were looking at all the different places. Isn't this segregation, and isn't that against the law? Shouldn't we all come together and, like you're saying, all for come for the common good and do the right thing instead of being, you know, you, me, them, us?
Well, again, so I don't. In the end, I don't know what you're talking about on the legal thing in relation to separate but equal. But in the end, right? That's a political thing that's been going on, right? Separating one American against the other, right?
Based exactly. On,
and sad to say, one party has been really good with the media at separating one person against the other. So, and they do, and they rhyme with Democrat.
And earlier, the reason why I listen sometimes to NPR is because you're not on all day.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Al. Have a good day. 790-2040 is the phone number. So what I would do, now we're going to continue this conversation. We got a quick call in at the top of the hour from the folks at the Sunnyside Foundation. But, so here's the first one, right? Is what I would do is I would cash out the Metro Chamber, the Hispanic Chamber, and what I would do is it needs to become something else. Maybe over the top of the hour, I'll come up with some working title. If you have a working title for what the new organization should be, we're just going to throw it up there. I know it ain't going to happen, but we can dream. To dream the impossible dream. I think Goulet does a great version of that, which is what I would do, of course. The greatest singer on the face of the planet ever. But, and what you would do is some of these areas of interest and specialization, right, is they now become different divisions of the organization. So what I'm saying is you want to have a Hispanic business division of the big organization? Great. Have that. Have its own little board, right? You can even, I'm not even saying Rob Elias needs to lose his job. I'm saying when he moves over, make him the head of the Hispanic business relations division. Right? I think you got to have, I'd have like a guy like Ted Maxwell, Southern Arizona. He has a lot of respect across the boards. He's got to be part of this, I think. I think, and then the Tucson Metro Chamber just needs to just become part of this thing. Right? I got all these people that are on eight different chambers. Everyone needs to come together. If you want to have a LGBT plus QA division, we can do that too. I don't understand why it's so hard to have a set of principles that actually help advocate for business versus the worst business possible environment in the West. So, all right, I'm going to shut up. Let's go to Goulet right now, and let's just do it. Let's get out with Goulet. Then we got the Sunnyside crew calling in at the top of the hour, and then we're going to get back to this, and then we'll talk about a few other news and notes, especially the border. Let's get to that, too. I'm going to be quiet. Bob's talking.